This past week, Donald Trump said several times that the war in Iran has been won. If you look at the military side, at least we've seen continued missile and drone attacks being launched by Iran. My first guest today is here to point out that Iran also holds a weapon that they may have already started to reach for and use. It's a weapon that can very easily impact your life, especially your financial life and stability. Joining us to discuss how this likelihood could unfold is cybersecurity attorney, partner in the firm Hunt & Andrews Kurth LLP, former chair of the DHS Data Privacy and Integrity Advisory Committee, Lisa Sato. How are you today, Lisa?
I'm just fine. Thank you very much.
And learn more about the aforementioned Hunt & Andrews Kurth LLP. It's Hunton.com. We do have a link over at our homepage as well. Mention that Iran is not technically illiterate by any stretch of the imagination, and certainly they're capable of creating turmoil digitally just as much as they are militarily. As far as what we know about Iran's capabilities, whether it's alone or with either third party or even allies, what's the danger through technology that Iran presents?
Yeah, in fact, they are extremely technically proficient, as are their proxies. So there are hacktivists who are ideologically aligned with Iran, and they are extremely sophisticated. We should never, never underestimate their level of sophistication in with respect to cyber espionage. There is real danger, as we saw with their first major foray getting into an American company from a global perspective, Stryker. They went for the jugular. They attacked a critical infrastructure company. This is a healthcare supplier. And they took down many systems all over the world and claimed, at least, that they stole a vast amount of data. So we are very concerned about the possibility of a cyber attack, because of course you don't need boots on the ground to conduct a cyber attack. And not only are Iranian linked parties potentially in the mix for taking action, but so are their proxies.
Is there also a threat of, I guess I'm revealing my fandom and addiction to Western movies. Are there hired guns out there that Iran can recruit and have them do the dirty work at a wider range than Iran could even do on their own?
Sure, but there are many hired guns. We do know that some nation states, in fact, partner with straight-on criminal hackers. So, yeah, there are plenty of very sophisticated players for hire, but I'm not even sure they need to expend resources on these folks, because there are also plenty of sophisticated cyber criminals who are directly linked to Iran and also directly linked to some of their proxies.
And as you mentioned, militarily you need numbers, where with technology you need obviously much fewer numbers. We assume that the attack is always going to go directly into a system, a financial system like Chase, for example, the New York Stock Exchange, pick the target that you wish. Technologically, is it also possible to get through a back door through a client of Chase, as an example, who maybe is leaving an open door to get into the main system through the back door?
Absolutely, and you can wreak havoc that way. So where there are connected systems, and we are all connected to each other, there's always the potential for criminal actors getting to get in through back doors. And in fact, we do see when criminal hackers get into systems, they come in through one door, but they leave a number of back doors in the system so that they can come back in if you find that front door and shut it. So we're always checking for those other vulnerabilities so that we can try to shut all the doors and not just the front door through which they entered. There's also, of course, the potential just to wreak havoc. So not only could they bring down a system like a bank or a utility, electric utility, or a municipal water system, But they can also wreak psychological havoc. So we're very attuned to that as well.
Well, certainly one havoc would lead to the psychological havoc as the aftermath. And is there a priority list? Because we also think of brick and mortar locations, businesses, industries, and you referenced about utilities and the ease that really anything that matters in any country is accessible electronically. Because we see so often reports of data breaches, it makes one suspect just how unprepared are these large bodies of activity of businesses, corporations, supplying utilities. How unprepared are so many of these necessities?
We try very hard to do incident preparedness work in advance. Remember, it just takes one successful attack, and we have to ward off thousands of them a day. So one time is all it takes for a bad actor to get into a system and successfully and wreak havoc within the system. We are very focused on readiness activities, ensuring that we're testing systems constantly. Of course, basic hygiene is really critical, making sure you have strong authentication methods, strong passwords, strong multi-factor authentication methods, access controls, segmentation of systems. So if a bad guy gets into one part of the system, they can't traverse into another part of the system. So we are constantly testing these sorts of protections, in addition to understanding whether or not we have immutable backups, so that if a threat actor wipes a system clean of data, do we have backups in a totally segregated place that we could use to then restore the data?
So for organizations really of any size, when you think about it, because one can get you into another and you can go up the technological chain, what are some of the priorities organizations should be revisiting as the likelihood, not the possibility, I think likelihood is a more accurate word, of a cyber attack is going to grow, even not just during the war in Iran, but the aftermath again, because you don't need numbers to cause the havoc that we're talking about here. So what are some of the priorities organizations have to go back to revisit that they thought they may have already had set and already operating as they hope it would be?
You're right to say that there's a likelihood that, companies will be attacked, and we do think that there's literally no one who's immune from cyber attacks. So there's no industry sector that can feel safe from these sorts of attacks. We worry about the supply chain. We've talked about this, but I think that's a real concern because to the extent a bad actor gets in to one point uphill and then distributes malware to thousands of customers of that single supplier, that's a way of doing a one-to-many attack, and it's very successful and it's very efficient and hard to protect against. So we worry about the supply chain. You could have a fortress around your system. You could have a moat with the alligators in the moat. Yeah. Around your own systems, but if you let that bridge down to others to get into your system, bad actors also could cross that bridge. So it's very important to have a vendor management program in place. Make sure you're vetting your vendors, particularly the ones who have any sort of integration within your system, to make sure that they have the protections that you expect of them. Have contractual protections as well to at least bind them contractually to committing to certain security protections. And then do ongoing monitoring of your vendors, because you might have very strong protections at the beginning of a relationship, but 5 years down the road, those protections may lapse. So it's very important to do ongoing monitoring. I'll also note that companies now routinely do penetration tests, for example, to see whether their systems are susceptible to penetration from the outside. And doing something called red team hacking, I think, is very useful. You're essentially hiring a group of folks to try to break into your system. In many, many, many cases, they are successful. The hope is that we find the vulnerabilities before the threat actors do.
There's a lot of ways and a lot of guidance, at least, is offered here, as does her firm, Hunt & Andrews Kurth LLP. Find out more about the services they provide at Hunton.com. We have the link at the homepage as well. Along being a cybersecurity attorney and partner in the firm, Hunt & Andrews Kurth LLP, she's former chair of the DHS Data Privacy and Integrity Advisory Committee. Lisa Soto, thanks so much for helping us realize the importance of awareness and not to take what we think as normal daily activity lightly, because that leaves us prone, and that's in this day and time is not a place we want to be. Thanks for your very educational, insightful words today.
Thank you for speaking with me.